afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to invite you to another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. Now, I want to first give honor where honor is due, and like I always say, thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and continue to bless me despite my mess and my messiness. So I also want to say today's topic is a very interesting topic. And even though it's one of those taboo topics, and you guys know I don't mind talking about some of the things that most people are afraid to talk about. A lot of times we say things and we'll, you know, I always say, why throw a rock and hide your hand? If you threw the rock, say you threw the rock. So I don't mind being one of those individuals that have to step out and talk about things that people want to say but scared to say. It's like saying, I'm just saying, I'd be like, no, you actually said it. So today's topic is basically acknowledging your purpose and utilizing your gifts. And I also want to say that this is not a topic that I said, okay, this is going to be my topic. This topic was brought to my attention by my cousin, who's also going to be on the air with me today. So I want to bring him on because I believe I see his number on here. But before we get started, I want to ask you a question. What is your purpose in life? Are you living and doing what God created you to do? Or are you just going through the motions? If not, are you existing or trying to live for others? If you're not utilizing your gifts or perhaps struggling with your purpose, give us a call today so we can talk about it. That's what this show is designed for. Because a lot of times we talk about our purpose and we talk about our gifts, some individuals are still trying to struggle in regards to what that means and why they wake up every morning and coming up with a plan to do what they're supposed to be doing. Now, the bottom line is don't waste your time because life is short and life is precious. We need to get back to business, to helping, encouraging other individuals, and do what we were actually placed on this earth to do. So let me start by logging my guests.
Hello.
This is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Jeanette? I'm doing
hey,
fine.
Cousin. That is great. I had to give my little disclaimer just to let them know what we're talking about. You know, even though, like I said, I don't mind talking about the tough topics, but you threw this topic out here at me. And I want to say, even when you, right after you said it, I was given so much confirmation. When I went to bed last night, I was listening to the Word Channel. They were talking about purpose. They were talking about gifts. When I woke up this morning, they were talking about purpose. Even when I was watching the news, I saw on the air, on the news where they were talking about, they were, I think it was Air or somebody, one of the planes, can't think of the name of the airline, but the plane was dealing with a lot of turbulence, and the pilot got on the line, or got on the intercom and told them to pray. Now, the question is, what if there's people on that plane that don't want to pray, that don't believe in a higher power, I don't believe in a purpose? But that pilot must have knew that there is somebody on this plane and there's something stronger and more powerful than me that's got to get us through this. Now, I want to start off by saying, even before you introduce yourself, even though it seems like when we start talking about, you know, different things like a purpose, we always want to talk about religion. It's, in my opinion, it's not about a religion. It's about relationship. And a lot of people, for whatever reason it may be, they get kind of standoffish, don't want to talk about it. And this is not to disrespect nobody's beliefs, perceptions, experiences, because I tell people, I'm scared of preachers because my mama got pregnant by one. So I know what my issue is when it comes to the church. So one thing, I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
Right.
I am. A preacher start trying to flirt with me, I'm like, baby, no.
Yeah.
Sometimes preachers eat too much, and they human too, you know.
Right.
But the bottom line is, when we start talking about God, God can be who you want God to be. It's a spirit. And I'm getting this information from Rick Warren's book, What on Earth Am I Here For? And
Purpose
he wrote
life,
the book,
Mm-hmm, The Purpose Driven Life, which you know I don't like to read, so I got the book and still ain't read the whole book. So I ain't going to sit here and lie about it either. So in the beginning of the book, it talks about for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything started with him and finds its purpose in him, and that is in Colossians. Now, then it also says right up under it, unless you assume a God, the question of life purpose is meaningless. And this was written by an atheist. So
right.
I can truly say, Cedric, in my line of work, I get to talk to individuals that are believers and individuals that are non-believers. And I kind of do like my Pastor Hammond used to say, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. So whatever you do, but you're going to be held accountable for it. And my mother used to always say, if you don't believe in something, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Because I know when I was growing up, Grandma used to think I was so bad, she thought I was evil. She used to say, Jeanette's just evil. And it wasn't that I was evil, I was just mad. So I stayed in trouble. So they kind of questioned me when it came to stuff like that. My sister still used to say, Jeanette don't believe in a God. Jeanette this. I was like, they don't have a clue. But the problem was, I had a gift, and I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I knew I had a purpose. Didn't know what it was. It took
no
a
idea.
Long time. Even now, I still struggle as a therapist with, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I? Some people think I'm chasing money. Some people think it's about fame and fortune. It ain't about none of that. I tell people I am obedient, and I do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. And when you do it what you're supposed to do and don't abuse your gift, you'll be amazed how things turn out. So now, I'm going to let you talk, Cedric. So tell first of all, why did you pick this topic? What was it you wanted the listeners to know?
Well, I know for me, like being an athlete for years and years, for some reason there was something tugging at me, telling me, this isn't what you're supposed to do. You know, even though I was really good at it and I could, you know, I almost made a living at it, there was something in me that told me, like, this is the preparation for something that I'm going to need you to do, you know. And regardless of how bad I wanted it, it just never really, I'd get hurt, there'd be problems, it never really worked out. I really didn't figure it out, and I didn't figure it out at all, to be honest, until my mother moved in and asked me to work on her book. And when I was working on the book, it came so easy to me. You know, it just flowed right out of my hands, you know. And my mom was amazed because it took her so long to get to a certain point, and it was so easy for me to take it to the next level. So then I started thinking about, like, when I was younger and I was in school and how teachers used to tell me, well, you're a writer, you're a writer. You know, and one teacher even called my mother and was like, Cedric is a writer, you know. And she was like, well, he doesn't want to do that. He wants to play basketball or whatever. And but what's interesting is I get so much joy out of writing and seeing how much people enjoy my books that I know that was a gift from God because it's nothing that I really wanted to do. It's nothing that I trained to do. It's just something I could do. Now there's a skill set that comes with your gift that you have to work at, and that's where I'm at now, trying to build my skill set in writing. But the gift, like, nobody can teach you how to do that. You know, it's just innate. It's innate in me. So, and when you don't use it, you're really kind of stripping the world of your purpose and glorifying God. You know, I'll give you one example. Like, I was watching Oprah one day, and it was a special on Maya Angelou, and she had these ladies sitting around the table, and there was one particular woman that wrote a letter to Maya Angelou, and she was at the table. And I guess Maya Angelou hadn't read it yet, and Oprah read it to her, you know, and she talked about how Maya Angelou saved her life by reading how I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. So I guess the woman had been through some sexual abuse also. And she said, if you see Maya tell her she saved my life,
mm-hmm.
right? So if Maya Angelou never writes that, maybe this woman's dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't know why you have your gifts. You don't know why you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. All you know is you're supposed to be obedient and do it.
Correct.
And your gifts will be revealed to you when you are able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose still might not be revealed to you. What he's looking for is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think about my own book, like The Good Wolf. And The Good Wolf, you haven't read it yet, but
you know I'm not a good liar.
Yeah. You haven't read it yet. So anyway,
I'm gonna stop you right quick. I gotta say this, Cedric. There's two things I gotta say because you know I can't help it. When you started talking about writing your mom's book, you know I had a flashback of what my mama said to your mother when she.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Look at that, Lord.
Can I say it the way she said it?
Because I cussed the last time. I'm trying not to cuss this time.
Okay, well, I'm just going to throw one cuss word at it, okay? And they say it on TV all the time, but it... Okay. Your mother was dying, unfortunately. She was sick, and, you know, she wasn't well, and Mom called her to see how she was doing. And Mom told her she was writing a book. And your mother said, "Oh, girl, I'd love to read that before I die because your mom doesn't pull any punches. She just, you know, she talks crazy." And she's like, "Girl, I'm just going to stay drunk until I die." You know, just your mom is the most honest human being maybe I've ever met in my life. So anyway, your mom asked, "How long have you been writing that book?" And my mom said, "7 years." And your mom said, "Bitch, you know you can write faster than that." About to die, I want to read that book.
My mama never got
that.
Well, and you know what? And you know what, Cedric? It is crazy because my mouth now is so out of control. When you were trying to stop me last week, it was like, "Cuz, Jeanette, no. I didn't say that. Ooh, when I listened to the show, I said, ooh.
Yeah,
and then somebody sent me a text message. They said, "No, you said that." So, you know, sometimes we talk about our gifts and our purpose and things of that nature. You do definitely have a gift for writing. And I could truly say, too, even doing therapy, I have people cracking up when I tell individuals, I couldn't stand people that use drugs. I used to throw onions and grapefruits at crackheads. And now I own a drug rehab. How much sense does that make? And it took the clients to tell me, "Jeanette, you have a gift." I was working with an individual yesterday because I am a licensed therapist and I was doing therapy with someone.
Right.
And they didn't realize I was behind them. And I always tell them, I have a skill. I can hear good and I can smell good. Now, when I was young, I couldn't stand my nose because everybody used to call me big nose this, big nose that. I think me, Ryder, and my mama are the only one with these big wide nose in our family. But a client could come in. They could smoke weed 2 days ago. I could smell it. I'd be like, "You've been smoking weed." And I tell them, "You can burp. I could smell what you ate." And it drives them nuts, but that's another gift I got. But when I was leaving, the client was walking out, and I was behind her. She didn't know. She said, "You know what? This is a different type of therapy. She's really down to earth. I like this." And the other lady was like, "Well, what kind of insurance do she take? What kind of?" And it was because it gave her a different perspective. It gave her where she felt comfortable, where a lot of individuals don't realize that. So now I just tell them, just listen to the radio show because we talk about a lot of these things. But give me 1 second, Cedric. Somebody's calling. I want to add them on to the line. Hi,
okay,
this is Jeanette. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio here at Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't know who this is because I don't recognize the number. But when we talk about this topic today, what do you want to share in regards to this topic?
Oh, well, this is Aaron Womack Jr. from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Can you hear me?
Okay. How are you doing?
Yeah, I am excellent. I had the great opportunity to be teammates with this young man that you have as your guest here at Southwest Missouri State. So why are you laughing, man?
It's just good to hear your voice, Trey. Good to hear
no,
because
you scared I might tell some secrets. That's why.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why you're laughing, though.
Yeah,
well, you know what? I
you,
just need to go too.
Down,
so,
Trey.
Tell it.
You pass,
tell it.
You pass it down, so.
No, you know, well, said you know I won't tell any secrets, not just because I love
right.
you, but because then I won't have to get the check back that you gave paid me not to say anything. But,
right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Cedric, it sounds like you got an A.C. Collins on your team. That's a good thing. I like
yeah.
this. Like,
yeah.
Tell them in our family, snitches get stitches and wind up in ditches.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, you know, it was when he came to Springfield, he brought a tape with him. And he said, hey, you got to listen to my homeboy. You got to listen to my homeboy. He made his first CD or his first cassette tape, and he's selling out a chunk of his car. And, you know, we listened to it, and it was like, oh, man, this dude ain't going to fly. You know, he's trying to be a rapper, but it's like too much cuss words. It ain't going to fly, you know. But it turned out later that the tape that he brought was up too short. And, of course, you know,
wow.
and blew up. Exactly. We should have listened to him back in the day. But what was interesting about that is that Pierce is too short, and he had a gift of rapping, and his gift was not just within himself. It expanded to where Cedric believed in enough that he brought it all the way to Springfield and said, hey, listen to my homeboy. And I think the gift, when we have true gift, it's not just a gift within yourself. It's a gift that others see in you, and it's willing to do what it is that you want to do. Like he's still on Trump's car with Cedric trying to push the CD himself. So the gift bank was Cedric had. I would have never known that he was a writer when we were in school. You know, we just want to play basketball. We just want to play basketball and whatnot. I would have known that he was a writer. And then, but when you have a gift inside you, it's going to eventually come out. And then now that he's in the realm and wrote two books, I'm in the same realm. It's like, hey, check out my boy. Yeah, he's an author. He wrote these two books here. You know, sequel, you know, it's like the two short. He's selling out a trunk of his car.
I know.
You know he's grinding him.
You
know what I mean?
For real, Cedric, you said a bootleg tape.
Yeah.
You know, Cedric,
I
learned
yeah.
a lot about you. So, considering that we didn't really grow up together, we were separated, I'm learning a lot. And you know what, Cedric, let me tell you something. And I don't know if she's going to call in. And Shiner has the nerve to say you wasn't black enough. She didn't have a clue.
Yeah. She said I wasn't black enough.
I'm black enough.
All right.
He'd be a little too black.
He's got a bootleg CD.
I'm black enough. Yeah, that was pretty funny, man. I was like, well, I guess that was my first 11 years. 11 was basically around white folks, you know. But then, divorce took care of that. Divorce took care of that. Splitting the income.
It taught you what it felt like, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we got to get back to the show because we just laughing. Okay, many individuals continue to question whether what they're doing or the way they live it is the way it's supposed to be. You know, a lot of times we consistently question our purpose. We consistently wonder, you know, and sometimes we are either met with negativity, lack of support. And a lot of times we question ourselves, and sometimes we even question God.
Right.
But there's been a lot of times, Cedric, I'll sit there, and I thank God for Dr. Lisa Romaine. Because when she came into my life, she would tell me different things like, God can trust you. And I'm like, what the hell he trusting me with? Why I got to do all this? Why I got to fight all these battles and deal with the county and deal with probation and got to do taxes? And I'm just like, this is getting on my nerve, you know?
Right.
And she would say, God don't give you no more than you can bear. And I remember going to church, and one time I went to the altar, and I said, Lord, I think you got me confused with somebody else because this is too much. But then I also wonder, every time I get up in the morning, I have this joy where I get up early, I go to bed late. My husband used to say I just pass out. I'd be so exhausted from talking to people all day. But the one thing I found, Cedric, is
which one, girl?
No matter
which
what
one?
They going through, I can make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just
no doubt.
It came natural. I just like doing therapy now. And it doesn't matter what the issue, what the situation is. So, but then, now talking to, even trying to get some of our listeners. Now, I believe we all were sitting here for a reason. and we all have a significance in the world. A lot of times, especially with dealing with passive individuals who don't, or are they afraid to let their voice be heard, they don't realize right. that they become angry because they didn't say anything. You know, it's like I was right. listening to a person talk about being not wanting to be a leader, but being a follower. And I said, sometimes even when you're a follower, you still have to step up and be the leader because the leader can get tired. And
right.
someone that's following is observing, and they have to utilize the gift. That's what it's about, building a team. When you guys played on the basketball team, because I used to also coach. I was too lazy, said, because, you know, I'm very athletic too. But then I didn't want to play no more, so I started coaching, and I would always find a good assistant coach to do the drill because I
right.
like messing with their head. I don't like running down the court. I cheat, you know. So that's
right.
too much for me, too much. But I learned that even building a team, you have to know how to utilize the gifts of your players on your team. You got to know who do what. And you have to
right.
also be able to encourage them, to teach them, to show them, to believe in it so that they can utilize their gift.
Right. You know what's interesting? You know, Train was talking about Too Short,
mm-hmm.
right? When Short came out. Well, I remember another lady, shoot, this was like maybe 97, 98. She was selling CDs out of the trunk of her car in Oakland, and she was a beast. You know, my
mm-hmm.
sister bought me a CD. She's like, you got to check this chick out, right? And it was Lettucey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was selling Soul Singer out of her trunk, and I heard it, I was like, yep, that's it.
Wow.
And I was like, this lady is going to be a beast. I never
wow.
heard of this woman before. I don't know who she is, but, you know, it happens. It happens.
Wow.
But it doesn't happen if you don't put it out there.
True. And you know
you
what
know?
I'm finding so interesting today, Cedric, is I didn't want to disappoint you because I knew this was just, you wanted this topic, so I didn't want to disappoint you. And I called Lisa,
mm-hmm.
and Lisa said she had to work today, so she wasn't going to be able to make it. So I was
mm-hmm.
reaching out to all these people. And hopefully they'll call in. But I'm going to tell you one person I reached out to. I haven't heard back from her, but I did reach out to her. And it's funny how you guys are going in a rapper game, and I hope she do call, because I did reach out to MC Light and tell her I wanted to surprise my
mm-hmm.
cousin. You know, my cousin, this is what he wanted to talk about, because I wanted her to
mm-hmm.
share. Your friend's call just dropped, so hopefully he'll call back. So
you know, he's doing a basketball camp right now in Milwaukee for the kids. So he may
okay,
not call
yeah,
back. Yeah, he can just get in for a second and get out. Yeah.
Gotcha. So when we start talking about even just the talent that we have and our gifts, you know, because sometimes it may not just be a talent to sing, a talent to dance, a talent to write. You know, some individuals have spiritual gifts. And
absolutely.
That was another thing that I've learned, is that I have a gift of discernment, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
even when I'm in not only just in the church realm, but interacting with people, even doing therapy, that is one of the things that I believe that God gave me to be able to connect and reach out to people, was my gift of discernment.
Right.
I tell
right.
them a lot
sure.
of times, it's not what you tell me, it's also what you don't tell me I'm going to pick up on. I'm just not afraid
right.
to challenge it.
Right.
And because
right.
you lying to me is not going to help you, nor is it going to help me help you. So sometimes
right. it's not going to get you better. Yeah.
Correct. And when I was listening to the Word Channel last night, I heard a person talking about some people have the gift of giving, that they're givers. So even
right.
when you start tapping into your spiritual gifts, a lot of times
right.
some people don't even know what those are. Now, my first lady was supposed to come in here, but her butt didn't show up. So I don't know if she's going to call or not either, but I did talk to her this morning. She was supposed to call.
Well,
now,
don't worry
I want
about
to say,
who ain't here.
Girl,
yeah.
Thank you. You know what? We're going to just say, God, because, but I did say the thing when I'm too short and the music started ringing in my head and all of that stuff. And I'm like, okay, MC, like, you go call or what? Because I did reach out to you on LinkedIn and I told you, you know, but she didn't respond. So I don't know if she's busy, but I did do
right.
that. Now, part
that's
of
cool.
the show,
it's all good.
The part of the show is to empower, motivate, and inspire people. Because when you are walking in your purpose, utilizing your gift, the thing is, you got to remember the gift is not for you. The gift is for others. Now, there are times that people do abuse their gifts, and I'll share a little bit about that. Because I remember, you know, Cedric, not only do we come from a family that's kind of multifaceted because we can do a lot of things. I remember when I was younger, she said I ruined her singing career because I always thought that my sister Boogie had a beautiful voice. Boogie can sing, and so can my daughter Leticia. They have an awesome voice. I never viewed myself as a singer. But Boogie wouldn't sing unless I sung with her. And we had some very funny, interesting moments, till, except for singing at my wedding, and Delano, he never played that song to nobody. I basically had sung at my grandmother's funeral because we kind of messed up at her church one time. But I think what happened with my singing gift was I abused it, Cedric. When I was in when I was younger and I graduated high school, there was a guy named Dr. Broadus, and he was our music teacher. He would take my sister and I from church to church with his family to sing. And I started seeing people get paid. I'm like, okay, people playing piano get paid, music director get paid, everybody getting paid.
Right.
I was like, I'm not singing unless I get paid. And it wasn't even paying me money. It was paying me a Big Mac, French fries, and an orange soda. I sold out for
They got you cheap, girl. They got
hamburger. McDonald's, number one. I would get attitude. I would tell him, I'm not going unless you go buy me something to eat. Cedric, when I say I lost it, I sound like a crackling bird trying to sing now. Because I didn't realize the gift that I had to sing when I was younger. My auntie used to make us sing. She would get us all together. We'd be our little... We was better than In Vogue at one time. You know, we would, not no more. I sold out for McDonald's because I abused my singing.
Girl, you always talking about eating something.
So well, you know what, Cedric? I can't.
Whooping your behind.
Cedric, I'm the toothless therapist right about now. So, Sister Girl can't eat like she used to because you see, you hear me over here smacking on this. I know what it feels like now to have a retainer in my mouth until I get my tooth. So this ain't no joke. And it all happened again over some food. I didn't want to share my steak. And I said, I know my daughter. My daughter probably was like, I hope her tooth fall out. I was brushing my teeth. That sucker fell in the sink. I was trying to grab it. Man, I told Western Dental, I'm not leaving unless I get a tooth. They was like, okay, $4,600. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, so my mouth ain't up to par. And so I can't eat like I want to. So I got to,
I said, feeling? Your mouth ain't feeling it right now?
It ain't feeling. I'm trying to eat on the side. I'm trying to eat on the side, and it ain't working. You be choking on the solid. And they told me, I got to take this thing out when I eat. I said, I'm not going to be sitting at a restaurant missing a tooth. So, no. So, I'm just hard-headed, so I can't eat. I done got to adapt it to smoothies and Jamba Juice and all that other mess.
Well, you know, Jeanette, maybe God's trying to slow you down a little bit.
I know God trying to make me lose some weight, but he didn't have to do it by my tooth. Yeah, that ain't fair.
Maybe he had to.
You don't
get to pick the tool. That's another thing, Jeanette. You don't get to pick the tool that God needs, uses to correct you. Right? He takes the tool, whatever tool he needs to correct you is the tool he's going to use. You know?
Well, that's true.
And we want him to correct us with a pillow. And a shoulder rub, but sometimes it takes a baseball bat, you know.
But a tooth? So a tooth, Cedric. I got to give up a tooth to lose some weight. But see, the thing is, when I get ready to go on TV, I can't be big on TV because I don't mind them calling me Baby Oprah, but a guy called me Whoopi, and I got offended. You got me Oprah, but Whoopi? Come on, man. Whoopi. I don't look nothing like Whoopi. That ain't even cool. That is so not cool. And I get tired of my friends.
You almost did it, girl.
Cedric, you know how bad I want to cut that man. That man called me Whoopi. Call me Whoopi. Yeah. I was Whoopi. Yeah. I was like, for real? I've been called Jack K from 227. I've been called Baby Oprah. Yeah. But this sucker called me Whoopi. I said, that's all right. That's all right. That is all right. Okay, so let's get back to what we're talking about. In regards to empowering, motivating, inspiring people to live happier, more fulfilling lives. Here are some values and goals that individuals have to determine. First of all, you have to first look, realize, what is your purpose in life? I asked my daughter that question this morning. I said, Leticia, what is your purpose in life? My daughter said, I guess my purpose is to take care of my brother's children. I can do nothing but that. I got to take care of all these kids. I guess that's my purpose.
Well, it might be.
But she,
you know.
It might be, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because she's been taking care of his children ever since the first one was born, who's 13 years old. And now she has the youngest one. Now, another question we have to ask ourselves, why am I alive? And every day that you're breathing, do something productive. And then, does my life matter? Now, I want you to talk about that a little bit, Cedric, when it goes to, does my life matter? What's your response to that?
Well, I'm going to kind of steer things back to my book, generally.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote this character, Randall Whitmore, he's like the worst parts of me, right? So I wanted to make him interesting. You know, he's kind of cold, he's this and that. And that's what he's going through. Because he makes a lot of money, you know, he's super fit, he's a good looking fella, he's got plenty of women, plenty of money, plenty of this, but he's miserable. And he's miserable because his life really doesn't matter. Like, if he died, people would be sad, but he doesn't take care of his parents, he doesn't take care of any children, he doesn't have any children, he's just kind of floating. You know, so he's trying to figure out what does it all mean? You know, why am I here? You know, I'm not just here to, you know, to be a consumer. I have to be a producer, you know, and he's not producing anything. And he's at the age where, you know, when you hit your mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s, you start thinking about your legacy, you know. And right now, this man just doesn't have a legacy. So in the process of writing this book and creating this character, he has to find a person, like a purpose, a reason to get up. And eventually he finds it in the second book, but this guy is basically being tortured because he really don't know what to do with himself.
Wow. Hey, Cedric, we got a caller on the line. Let's see who this person is. This is a 619 area code.
Cool.
Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Blog Block Talk Radio. How are you doing? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Hi, Jeanette. I was calling in about the Dill Whip. My name is Sharita Sproggins.
Okay.
Hi, I'd like to say this is a fantastic book that I'm reading right now. I'm not done with the book, so I don't want to know the ending, so I'm going to have to hang up with you guys after I get off this call. So I don't want to ruin it for myself.
So
but,
you got the author on the book, but of the book, but I can't tell you how it ends. We just know that there is going to be a sequel.
she don't read, Sharita. But she bought it. God bless her.
Yeah, I bought it. I ain't going to lie. I got the book. I got the book right in my office.
The book is good if you you might want to read it because if you're home and you don't have a husband or a boyfriend, you know, you read the book, it kind of gets you in another world to where, you know, I said, oh, I'm reading this book at work. I have to check myself.
Wait a minute, I got a question for you. Now, you said, okay, I got to go there because, see, I may not read all the time, but I have a gift of discernment and I have common sense and street smarts. So you're saying, if you don't have a husband or a boyfriend, read the book. But I know the book got a lot of men in it. So you reading about the book because there's a bunch of men in it?
It's men and it's women in the book. And it's very
okay.
I had to get up out of my desk at my work and check my feet to make sure, you know, my skirt and everything was good. I was like, okay, wait a minute. It's not a good book to read while you're at work. I gotta take this.
Wow. Well, you know what? I need to get Cedric to write more relational books because, you know what, Cedric? You know, you've been married for many, many years, and there's a war on marriage.
Right.
Marriages right about now.
Absolutely.
And we need to do a show on how to stay married and give people skills because even though we know that even talking about masculine, we talked about what makes a great father, And we mm-hmm. talked about those things and how men should treat women, and men are struggling with that and trying to find
Absolutely.
Their purpose. They say a mm-hmm. man without a purpose is a dangerous man.
Oh, he's dangerous.
So,
yeah, because
very dangerous. So
can
I
say something?
Yes, you may.
I want to. I'm sorry to intervene, but I'm in the middle of a divorce right now, and I feel that my husband didn't have a purpose, and he's very dangerous. That's what.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you on that one. And that's why I'm going through my divorce. I'm like you said. I need to. How do you keep your marriage when it's been
mm-hmm.
so tainted?
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Cedric? We're going to have to get together and do a show on that, because I'm
no
running
doubt.
Into that a lot with, especially
mm-hmm.
me being a marriage family therapist and trying to come up with tools, techniques. And, you know, and I tell a person, well, you got to work on you. And when you work on you, sometimes you start seeing things, and that person is who they are. But sometimes even trying to help them with their gift, they don't believe
mm-hmm.
it. And if they don't believe in their gift, and they just think you're trying to blow smoke up their butt, it becomes a battle. And I have
sure.
this thing where I used to tell people, if you can't grow with me, you can't go with me. And a lot of times we do find this discord, but, you know, it goes back to the beginning. Sometimes we're just unequally yoked, but we try our best because we say we love him, or, you know, he's a good person, or he got a job, or, you know, what you got to say, Cedric?
Well, it's like this. It's like this, Jeanette. We come from divorce, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, my father's been divorced twice. Everybody on my mom's side of family's been divorced. Everybody on our side of family's been divorced, except
mm-hmm.
for me and basically Lizzie. You know, we're the only
Correct.
One that really stuck it out, right?
Correct. And I got my aunt Samantha on my mama's side. She's the only one married right now. Cause, you know, my husband told me he ain't going to give me no divorce, but I guess I got to deal with it.
Yeah, so, you know, but we come from multiple generations of divorce, so we know how to get divorced, we just don't know how to
mm-hmm.
stay there.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, with, you know, like, I try to treat Jamie with as much respect as possible, not only just as my wife, but as my friend, my partner, you know, she
mm-hmm.
got my back,
uh-huh.
I got her back, you know, but
mm-hmm.
bumps and bumps come with all that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it comes with all of it. You know, you've been married, so, you know, Sharita's been married. It comes
oh,
with
you know
it.
I've been married.
It's all
that's
about.
That's why I can't. Cedric.
I'm in,
that's what
my
made me cuss last week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cedric,
my marriage is
cuss.
Not even fidelity. It's more financial.
Yeah.
Right.
Cedric. Cedric, you know that's what made me cuss the last time, because my husband said I can't get no more husbands.
Right. Right.
Me and Elizabeth Taylor, we kind of going tap for tip for tap, but she's dead right about now. So I can get at least a few more in before I go out.
Yeah,
you know?
you got enough of them, girl. You got
Maybe
enough.
I'll get it right one day.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about it is, Jeanette, like, you have to commit. Like, you have to, you know, you have to commit. You told me that, like, the longest marriage you had was a couple of years, you
mm-hmm.
know. Well, that's when the shine comes off, and that's when the marriage starts.
No, Cedric,
you know what I mean?
After 2.5, Cedric, within 2 years, and I ate my food, pissed me off, and I got a problem with that. Don't mess with my food. You can cheat.
Yeah.
You can take my money. You can do whatever you want. But if you take my food, I got
to go. Don't listen to her, Sharita. She's crazy.
I tell what about her husband.
Like, okay.
Cedric, what about her husband? He messed around and cheated. I found out about it. He let somebody suck his pee-pee in the car. I wasn't mad about that because I wasn't going to do it. So if somebody else going to do it, that's less I got to do. What everybody knew but me. Now I'm mad.
Oh, man.
I don't trip off of stuff like that, but don't mess with my food. Okay, we got
to
get back to the show. Now, me.
Okay, guys, nice
talking
to you guys.
All right, Sharita.
Okay, thank you.
Many have yep. lived most of their lives mindless regarding the clear thoughts behind their actions and decisions. And a lot of times we kind of wonder what drives our actions and our decisions, our thoughts, and things of that nature. And coming up with dreams, one way to basically truly know yourself and experience the fulfillment is to get in touch with your life purpose. You know, I heard you say, Cedric, about feeling miserable about some of the things you were doing, how
mm-hmm.
things just basically wasn't working. I don't know why people want to call
right.
me when I'm on the radio. So the thing is, when we start talking about feeling miserable and like feeling like your life is not going anywhere or in the direction that you thought it would and your life purpose, and sometimes, Cedric, and I could say in regards to what I do now, and I know that and I believe that God is put me in this predicament to be able to help other individuals become therapists, to help individuals develop programs, to try to train counselors. And I told Lisa, I guess now I'll go on and fill out this application and go on and start teaching community colleges, at community colleges. I said I didn't want to do that because I had bad habits, because I felt like this. First of all, if I don't want to go to school, why am I going to be teaching at school? And that's a whole lot of walking around these college campuses. Them campuses ain't no joke. That's a workout.
Yeah, they're pretty big,
so,
girl. Yeah.
Correct. But in order for me to make sure that people are coming into this field and they're qualified and they have the tools and information and techniques that it takes to work with God's people, I got to be part of that to make sure that I'm helping in the training process. So I'm going to go on and do it. Didn't want to, but I'm going to do it. And I hope some of the students bring me apples. They can bring me chicken. I'll take a chicken over an apple, but I will do
it. Yeah, just tell them to bring the food, girl. It'll all be
good. Bring some food. I'll let you out early and all that other good stuff. But the thing is, and getting back to
Let me say this, Jeanette. If you would have finished a purpose, the purpose-driven life, you would have found out what I found out, which I never really knew was it's not about me. It's not about if it's convenient for me. It's not about if I want to do it or not. It's about if God wants me to do it. And once you get that understanding, you know, then whatever He wants you to do, you'll do. You may not even do it with a smile on your face, but you'll do it. You'll do it because understanding is optional and obedience is required. And He'll let you know why you need. He wants you to do what He wants you to do, but He can't let you know right now because you probably can't handle it.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Bigger than what you can imagine.
Much bigger. Much bigger. Because like I said, no one would ever tell me that in 11 years of being the owner of the Center for the Treatment of Addiction, I would still be the owner of the Center for the Treatment of Addiction, considering that they were trying to put me out of business within the first month I bought the company, you know, or that I would have another company and then now be looking to open up more offices. And eventually I will go to Compton. You know, no one would have, I'd never even imagined. I thought by now I would be in a courtroom practicing law, you know, being a judge. Mm-hmm. But I'm able to help individuals because I also have that gift. So when individuals do come to me, I have so much to offer, but it's not about me. It's totally not about me.
You.
Sometimes I don't even realize the talents that I have until the clients tell me, you know.
Right.
Now, so we do have to realize it's not about us and that everything got started with Him and find its purpose in Him. And one of the things that talks about a question to consider is, in spite of all the advertisement and all the stuff, we have to remind ourselves that life is really about living for God, not for ourselves.
Right.
And we have to learn how to be a servant. We basically, and we also have to remember, we're not here by accident. You know, sometimes we'll say, well, why am I here? Or what am I supposed to be doing? Your birth was no mistake. And that's sometimes what I have to tell individuals when they become suicidal and they want to, you know, want to just end their lives. It's not your life to take. And even when they talk about, I want to have a child, that child is a gift from God. That child is not something for you to possess to be fighting over. And, I mean, I don't want to start preaching and all that other stuff. But the one thing is, when we were born and God gave us breath, we need to do what we are supposed to be doing and work on figuring that out. Now, I have some questions. And it talks about 15 questions that sometimes we need to ask ourselves. Because when we start trying to discover our purpose, we want to make sure that it is in line and is congruent to what God's plan is. Because sometimes, I may say I want to be a dancer, and Lord knows I don't know how to dance. You know, I'm still doing two steps. But in my mind, I might want to do it, but that may not be my purpose. That may be my passion. And that's one thing I want to focus on, Cedric, is because sometimes people get their passion confused with their purpose. You may have a strong desire to do something. You may be able to be trained to do something well. But if it's God's given gift, you don't even have to train to do it. It comes naturally.
Exactly.
A woman,
exactly.
When I got called to do radio, I used to say, I wanted to do radio because I didn't want my fat butt on TV. Now, my butt didn't have to get fat, but I did because I didn't want to go to the gym. And I kept saying it so much that somebody called me for radio. I said, oops, I stuck my foot in my mouth. So when I started doing radio on Voice America,
hey,
I remember the lady
asked
me.
Can you do me a favor? Jeanette, can you please stop insulting yourself for 5 minutes?
Okay, I'll stop doing that.
Please.
Okay,
yeah,
I will do that.
Thank you.
But I'm going to say
thank
this.
You.
When I started doing radio, she did not believe I never did radio before.
Wow.
Because it started coming natural. So when we start trying to find out the questions, find out what makes you smile. What are your favorite things that you like to do? What activities that you can do that sometimes you lose track of time when you're doing it? What makes you feel great about yourself? And who inspires you the most? What are you naturally good at? And why do people typically ask you for help in that area? And if you had to teach something, what would you teach? So I'm going to ask you those questions, Cedric, because you started off talking about basketball, and then you said you wanted to run track. And in some of our shows, you told the story of how when you didn't want to play basketball no more, what your father told you about the track. But if you had to teach something, what would you teach?
If I had to teach something, it would be track and field. I'd probably be the most competent at that, or how to write, how to be effective, how to be an effective speaker, how to work with young people, how to work with teens, and always teens and young adults. You know, those are a few things I would, you know, I have the ability to teach and kind of understand. I have some insight into those things. You know, I have experience and insight. So, it'd be something like that. You know, I had an offer to coach at University of Minnesota to coach track and field with my buddy. And then he was going to go to Texas A&M, and then he asked me if I wanted to go. But it just – the time wasn't right. I just felt like my purpose was something else. Even though I'd be really, really good at it, you know, right now he's at Purdue, and he's turned Purdue into a national powerhouse. His name is Rolando Green, and he always said, Cedric, you need to be coaching. But I think my coaching is coming from it's going to be for people that are more so struggling. Like they'll be fine at Purdue without Cedric Boyd, you know. But where I'm at at Job Corps, they may not be fine without Cedric Boyd. You know what I mean? Like I need to be where I'm at. And even though it's uncomfortable and I don't like doing the paperwork and I don't like doing this and it's a bunch of stuff, I know why I'm there. And every day when I go in, and even when I want to quit, something that day happens that God tells me, no, I need you to be here. I need you to stay here. I need you to be patient. I need you to be obedient. You know, I got one story that's really interesting. Everybody remembers Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, right? Horrible deal, right? I got a friend from New Orleans. Really good friend, we're super tight, and you know, he was going through the usual new marriage bumps and stuff and lumps, and I'd been married a little bit longer than him, and I was just kind of talking to him about hang in there, man, you know, like it's rough, brother, it's just bumpy, you know, you got two intelligent, strong-willed people that have opinions on what it is to be married, and obviously you're gonna bump heads, you know, when you have two people come from like different, completely different backgrounds. So they were talking divorce, and you know, I hate divorce. Like I hate divorce, you know. So we kind of walked them through it, and things got better. And you know, they ended up they're doing really well, and they got a really big house. But there was only him, her, and their child, right? So he was like, "Boy, you know, we got this big house. We don't really need this big house. You know what I mean? They had two houses at that point. They had another house they were renting out, and they bought a really big house. And he's like, boy, what are we doing with this big house? I was like, you know, T, like sometimes God will bless you and you don't know why, right? I mean, you don't know why you got this big house. You don't know why. You don't know what's going to happen. I swear, Jeanette, a month after us having that conversation, Katrina, bam, 17 people living in that house, right? So if I'm not obedient, when God was talking to me, telling me, like, I was like, "What? I don't know nothing about marriage. Why you want me to go talk to this man? I can hear God saying, I'll use you anyway. I know you're dirty. I know you ain't right. I know you don't know what you're doing. I'm going to use you anyway. So you just show up, and I'll put the words in your mouth. And if I wouldn't have went there, and me and him wouldn't have worked through this stuff, and God forbid they would have got a divorce, he'd have been living in some apartment, you know, swinging bachelor pad, and 17 people wouldn't have had a place to go because he wanted to do what he wanted to do instead of being obedient, and me being obedient, and him being obedient to the vows that he took. Now we got 17 people of his family members living God knows where.
Wow.
So you don't know.
You know what I said?
You don't know.
That's
you just
true,
know
but you
got to
be
obedient.
Correct. And you know what? And a lot of times people struggle with obedience. Now, we have 9 minutes left in the show. And if you want to call in and you want to share or provide us with some information or testimony of how you learned how to operate in your gift and how you figured out or God revealed to you what your gift was, give us a call at 516-837-1914. Now, Cedric, I have a question, because when I was getting some information regarding this, there was some word that was thrown out there. One of them was time. Another one was change. Destiny. God's business. Stop wasting time. God's timing. And God don't live in time. Now, when I heard those different words independently, I started getting confused. Like, okay, but if I got to be about God's business, and I know time, whose time are we talking about? Change. What am I trying to change? And if I'm going to be about God's business, what is that about? And talking about God's timing. Tell me, not all of them, but just tell me what you think about in regards to some of those words that I just threw out there at you.
Okay, Jeanette, you were breaking up really bad when you were talking.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I didn't catch a lot of it. Yeah, now I got you. Yeah.
Okay, I said time. Change, destiny, God's business. Stop wasting time, God's timing, and God don't live in time. Now, when I was getting this information, it was very confusing to me. So when I heard the word time, I thought about whose time, my time, God's time.
Right.
Now, how am I supposed to determine that? Who am I trying to change? Why am I changing these individuals? What do you mean by destiny, and what do you mean by God's business? So when I throw these words out at you, what comes to your mind when we start talking about trying to determine or living and acknowledging your purpose and utilizing your gift?
Well, I remember a sermon from Dr. Ron Elmore, and he was talking about, like, synchronizing your watches with God. Like, he don't synchronize his watch with you. You got to synchronize your watch with him. You ain't on his clock. I mean, he ain't on your clock, you're on his, you know. So that's where the obedience comes in, you know. Like, God, you told me I had a husband coming, and I've been waiting and praying and speaking in tongues and everything else, and he ain't here. And he's not here because you ain't ready yet. It's that simple. Like, some stuff you got to accept, you know.
Correct.
Even with my book, like, for all intent and purposes, the Good Wolf, and it sounds real Kanye, the Good Wolf is a masterpiece.
I heard it
when
is.
When you read the reviews.
I heard it
right,
is.
When you read the reviews, when you hear people talk about it, if you go to Amazon and you look at the reviews, there's about 60, and you think I paid these people to talk about the Good Wolf, right? So the Good Wolf is a masterpiece. I can pitch it. I'm articulate. I'm sharp. I'm pretty good looking. I got all these things going for me. Why isn't the Good Wolf, why has it not sold 10 million copies? The formula's there. It's all there. It's all there. The problem is it ain't time yet. I'm not ready. I'm supposed to walk through this Job Corps thing and help these kids. I'm supposed to. He'll get to it. He'll get to it when it's his time. But right now, he needs me to do something else, you know. Right now, he needs me to do something else. And it's hard pill to swallow. It's like when I hurt my hip when I was jumping, you know, I didn't get to go to the Olympic trials. I didn't get to do all that, and it made me really bitter. But having gone through that experience and knowing that I was better when I came out on the other side, it prepped me for this, what Pastor would call the waiting room time, you know, the mm-hmm. meantime. You know, so it prepared me for this time, so I have something to go back on to. It's like, oh, yeah, it'll be all right, but it'll be all right when he says it's all right, not when mm-hmm. I say it's all right, you know, because I wanted it yesterday. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to sell 10 million copies 5 minutes after it came out, and it wasn't ready, it wasn't time, but if it's good enough and it's supposed to get there, it will get there. And those mm-hmm. are a couple of things you just have to learn how to accept.
And you know what? And the thing is, and that is patience, because when we talk about God's timing, and sometimes, you know, people tell us, well, don't give up. And, you know, you want to hear the well done, my good and faithful servant, and all those different
right.
things. But then sometimes you do got to say, okay, you go back and you ask God, my assignment. I remember when I was married, I used to tell my husband, my assignment, my assignment, my assignment. And he didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Now, I knew what my assignment was supposed to be. I really did in regards
right.
to that. But it made no sense to him, but I knew. But when we start
right.
talking about our assignment, sometimes, and one of the things I had to learn too, Cedric, and just like you just shut me up, I got to learn when to shut up, and I'm getting better.
Yeah.
So you got to give me, when we get off the air, you can give me the credit. You can be like, okay, cousin, you listen to me. I'm getting better.
Yeah.
Y'all working on me?
It's a work
I'm
in progress.
I'm learning when to shut up.
It's a work in progress, girl.
Even when I'm doing therapy with somebody else, they be kicking me and hitting me and ready to pinch me. I know when to shut up. I'm always the leader, but I know when to follow. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So I want to give the listeners some information in regards to 3 steps to defining your life purpose. And one of the things they talk about in regards to that is, like I said, we need to find out what we naturally do well. And sometimes we have to go to God. And because it's a 3-part thing in regards to a mission statement, your talents, your values, the essence of who you are and who God designed you to be, you wish to accomplish, and what contributions you believe you bring to the world, yourself, and others. Like I said, I never thought mine would be what it is. Quantifying
mm-hmm.
your life purpose, the measurable results you wish to achieve by living out your life purpose, and how will you know when you are truly living your life purpose? A lot of times people will tell you, and I've heard some good reviews about your book, and just by listening to this woman talk about your book and saying how, you know, her marriage, her relationship, you're educating women about men, because there's some things
yep.
we don't understand. And that's part
mm-hmm.
of the purpose of your book and putting it out there. Even though some of these characters you may know, or, you know, you developed them, you designed them, and sometimes they want you to keep it going. Because, like I said, we have a lot of hurt people out there. And more
sure.
of us need to come together to be able to help individuals that are hurting, to help them find their purpose and utilize their gift. Now, we have 90 seconds left. Cedric, tell the listeners how they can find your book and find your information.
Okay, you can get me on Twitter at Cedric J. Boyd. You can get me Instagram, same thing, Cedric J. Boyd. Facebook, Cedric J. Boyd. You can go to Amazon to get my book. You can go to CreateSpace. It's available in the Kindle edition. It's available in the iTunes edition. You can go to iTunes and get it. And you can get it in paperback. You can get The Good Wolf, and you can get the sequel, Randall Whitmore, which is also available in all the formats with the exception of iTunes. It's available in Kindle format and paperback. So Amazon's probably your best route, because that's where most people go to get their stuff when they get it online. I have it in a few bookstores in Sacramento, but it always sells out, which is great. I have to get a few more in there, but It's just a blessing, and it's just been awesome the way people have responded to the book. It really is. It sounds arrogant, but it really is an American classic. I could have wrote it 30 years ago, and I could have wrote it 30 years from now, and it would still be just as effective. It is a transcendent piece of literature,
okay.
you know. And I hope that whoever gets it, it really enjoys it and understands it.
All right, thank you for listening. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to resolve conflicts effectively. Thank you for listening to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Remember, until next week, you got this. Thank you, Cousin Cedric. Talk to you later.
All right. Love you, girl.
Bye-bye. Later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.